Welcome to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. Again, we get to celebrate the 40-year-old plus Red Clay Ramblers and do our regular checkup with what's going on. And thanks to Jack Herrick and to Bland Simpson for coming back to tell us what's going on with the Playmakers. Got anything going on for Christmas?
No, but we are doing we do have a few things going on for Christmas. We're doing something with the Playmakers in the winter, though.
Oh, boy, okay.
Told you about it. We're going out to Oregon Shakespeare right. Festival.
Wow, but not for us, for other
not
people.
For us.
I want to go back to the Mississippi River and, oh, my golly. Let's don't reminisce, though.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, you guys told me that you had some Christmas joy to share with us.
We have some Christmas joy and some Christmas malevolence equal doses. We have our show, Bah Humbug, is running now out at St. Louis Rep. And that's we did it here years ago. In fact, Bland's twins were in our show. They were fabulous. And Bland and I really do love Christmas, but this is a song sung by the character Ebenezer Scrooge, who is known to not care that much about it.
So if we hear a Christmas song not like the I was going to say the Bland music. I'm sorry, Bland. The music that we hear in the shopping malls, the regular Christmas music. This is not what you're going to give us. Is not that. Where did this come from?
It isn't that, but it would cheer people up to hear this in the shopping malls. It would give them a certain aggressive spirit.
We'll maybe less hear it.
Okay. Well, we'll try it. This is going to be a live effort. We're not quite used to it. Bland's gonna help me out. Here we go.
This is Ebenezer Scrooge talk.
It is. I gotta get my Scrooge voice. Christmas is a crock. It's such a nasty shock to have to close my lovely bank and fasten every lock. You know, it really gets my goat and chokes me in the throat. Who wants to end up every year on such a sour note? Bah!
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 Bah humbug!
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 Bah, humbug.
Humbug.
Who wants to waste their time on stupid Christmas rhyme? Instead of making money, they drink eggnog, tastes like slime. And when it's cold and raw, do folks stay home and thaw? No, instead they make a racket singing fa la 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 la. Bah, bah, humbug.
Humbug.
Relatives who really hate your guts send you presents you can't stand. You have to send them thank you notes. Boring, and you have to buy the stamps. Who pays me? It puts me in a rage. Christmas, the worst of all days. And I'd like to get my claws on that fat guy, Santa Claus. He parks his reindeer on the roof. He's breaking all the laws, but the cops won't bust him, no. They're glad to let him go and hold up traffic just to hear that slob say ho, ho, ho. Bah!
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 Bah.
Bah,
humbug.
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 Bah.
Bah.
Bah. Bah, humbug.
Humbug.
Oh, my golly. Scrooge. Even Scrooge wasn't that mean, was he? How does that fit into the show that we're not going to get to see this show?
Well, it's a kid's show, believe it or not, and Scrooge is a comic character loosely based both on the Dickens and also on Scrooge McDuck. So he makes quite a racket.
Well, if you did join us late during that song, that was Jack Hedrick and Bland Simpson impersonating old Scrooge. So Merry Christmas to everybody who's listening to this.
We don't mean it, folks. We love Christmas.
Well, do you have something a little bit more in the spirit of Christmas that you can share with us?
Well, yeah, we do. And we have our adaptation of A Child's Christmas in Wales that's currently touring in the UK, being put on by the Theatre Company of Wales, our great friend Michael Bogdanoff, who is both the adapter and director of that show. And we just got back from over there working on it and putting the tour together. And it's a lovely reminiscence of childhood of Dylan Thomas's childhood in Swansea, based on the short story A Child's Christmas in Wales, but it also incorporates a lot of other Dylan Thomas material. the cast over there is quite wonderful. They all sing like birds, as Welshmen tend to do.
We're going to hear the Rambler's version of this.
We're going to hear the Welsh cast.
The Welsh cast
doing this over.
But with your. With the Ramblers.
Music and lyrics.
And this is a restaging, DG. Jack, you should mention that this was staged some years ago, both in Wales and the UK and in Germany.
Yeah, it's been translated into German. And we're trying to bring it over here because we would love the Ramblers to be the grouchy uncles, which feature heavily into the story, and have two or three comic numbers that I think would be right up our alley to do.
Well that's going to be a while.
In the meanwhile, that's why we've brought this in, because we want folks to hear.
Tell us a little bit more about the song that we're going to.
The song that we're going to hear is called "Over the Way," and it's Dylan Thomas is represented both as the old Dylan Thomas looking back and young Dylan Thomas at the age 9, 10, 11, actually experiencing the Christmas in Wales of the short story. In this song, Dylan Thomas is reminiscing about rambling out on a Christmas day into the snowy environs of Swansea and the hills and the seaside town, and he's joined by the young Dylan Thomas. So the two singers that you hear are young and old Dylan Thomas singing together, and then the rest of the cast joining in on choruses.
Wow, and this is a song written by the Playmakers, performed by a cast in Britain, written by Jack Herrick.
That's it.
Well, let's listen to that song called "Over the Way."
Great.
Child, don't you remember many a bright December day. Here's to the joy of Christmas gone, just over the way.
Well, you just heard Over the Hatch, a song Bland Simpson tells me is by Jack Herrick, and it's performed not by the Red Clay Ramblers, but by a group in Britain.
The cast of A Child's Christmas in Wales.
Well, thanks for bringing that little piece of music and the story behind it. Just makes me drool with the prospect of maybe you guys bringing that production back home to Chapel Hill.
We would love to do it, DG.
Well, in the meantime, Glenn Simpson, what are you up to?
Well, in the nearer term, on Saturday, December 6th at 2 o'clock, we'll be at McIntyre's Fine Books in Farrington. And at 7 on that day, we'll be at Flyleaf here in Chapel Hill. And on the 14th, Sunday, the 14th of December, the annual Red Clay Ramblers Carol Sing out at Man's Chapel, just off Man's Chapel Road.
Great. Glenn Simpson, Jack Herrick, and I'll be right back.
This is the flagship station for the University of North Carolina.
Coming near side, Switzer at the 50. Breaks a tackle at the 30. Still on his feet. No, he's not. Yes, he is. Ryan Switzer for six.
97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's News, Talk, and Tar Heel Station.
Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. I'm visiting with Bland Simpson and Jack Herrick. We're talking about the current activities of the Red Clay Ramblers. 40 years, can it be?
We're not counting. We quit counting. We quit counting, D.G.
We can't count them.
Turn your head every minute, and you guys have got something new going on. I've learned something every time I talk to you. Most recently, in terms of productions that I know about, is a CD, the Red Clay Ramblers and the Carolina Jamboree. What's the backstory?
Well, we recorded this last winter, just released it this fall. It's the score to a ballet that we've had the great pleasure and joy of doing with Carolina Ballet over in Raleigh. And we Ramblers don't do anything quickly. So this is a ballet we first staged in 2005, a second time 2008, and then in 2013. So we finally got up a head of steam and put the score down in the studio. So, we do play banjo and fiddle breakdowns quickly, but as far as our procedure is to move steadily forward into the future. Carolina Jamboree was a commission work. Ricky Weiss brought the idea to us of a collaboration between us and the justly renowned New York choreographer Lynn Taylor Corbett, and that was back in sometime in late 04.
So the Ramblers, whom we think of as raucous music, not delicate ballet, you formed a partnership to pull these two traditions together.
Yes, and we had I tell you who I have to give credit even beyond Ricky Weiss, who did the, as the director of the ballet, charted the course on it. But the idea of getting us with Lynn really came from Betsy Friday. Betsy got in touch with us and said, you guys really need to meet.
This is a long time. Betsy's gone for a while. So this is a long time.
Project. Betsy, yes. It was. This was probably back in 2002. She said, you got to meet Lynn, and you got to meet her when the production of Carmina Burana is in full swing. And so we went over and saw that majestic performance. I mean, that's wonderful powerhouse music. And Lynn was choreographing and, in effect, directing the ballet company, the Corps de Ballet, and she had the Raleigh Chorale, this big chorus, and the North Carolina Symphony. So there were most of 200 people involved at Raleigh Memorial Auditorium. It was quite a show. Amazing show. Very creative. What was on stage and how she positioned, as well as got the orchestrations going, the players and the singers in the house. So we thought, we'd love to be part of a big show with her.
Well,
and that's where that came from. And so we started meeting with her in a couple of years later, once Ricky Weiss had said, "Yeah, I like the idea."
And who commissioned it? How was it?
The Carolina Ballet.
Carolina Ballet. Mm-hmm. But the idea, Bland, of, I know that artists love to work with other artists that in a different sort of, that are doing different things and bring them together. But the idea of, for me, trying to construct how you would do this, where you're negotiating with the ballet, the person responsible for the ballet, about music that would go along with it, and she's negotiating with you about developing music that she thinks would be something that she could frame a dance around. How did that really work?
Well, Ricky gave, and Bland can correct me when I'm wrong, as he's good for doing, but Ricky gave Lynn Taylor Corbett a very free license to create this piece, and she started with kind of picking through our old material and suggesting that something like something might be good, or that something that we had already done would be a good inclusion, and then it slowly transformed itself into three distinct sections. They're not disconnected at all, and it is a continuous show, but she really envisioned a piece that pushed our outer limits to the types of music that that we do perform, and I think that was part of the joy of it for us, is we really did some instrumental music that's quite unlike what we do, but she also included some of our most head-banging, hoedown kind of stuff, and novelty tunes. And
well, is there a story that goes along with this, or just three different stories?
Yeah, there are three separate stories. It's somewhat abstract. In the first one is, Bland can probably describe it together. But the first segment is really a look at the hardscrabble life of
Appalachian,
yes,
region.
So, and the name of that section is
Appalachian Stories.
Yeah,
and in it you see a man and a woman, and the woman apparently has a child, but she's very unhappy. Then you see another woman in the picture, and there's no speaking in this. This is all dance and gesture and look, and they're just troublesome matters. And then they're men at work, and they're just grinding away like as if in a factory or a coal mine or something. And it's not crystal clear what's going on, but it's troublesome. You feel that.
So there's a mood rather than an actual narrative story.
Yes,
that's right.
But there's enough in these glimpses of relationships that you care about these people, and you get it that they're not having such a good time.
Can you take one song or one of the tunes from this segment and let us hear? First of all, talk to us a little bit of how it fits, and then let us listen to it, and then maybe tell us some more. Have you got a song?
Yes. The song we'll listen to from this section is just before the resolution of Appalachian Stories. There's the private moments between the man and the two women, and the anguish that goes on in that story or piece of story is eclipsed by the whole company coming forward and the Ramblers performing the Stephen Foster song "Hard Times," which kind of sums up the
in Appalachia.
Yeah, what that situation that
what
piece.
Kind of, we're going to listen to that, and what kind of dancing would the ballet company be doing, and how much did you have to do with that, or if anything?
We didn't have anything to do with the shape of the tableau and the pictures that that Lynn was devising.
She did this, but you, so what did you, do you remember what you saw when the dancing? It's just, it's an abstract.
It's sort of abstract, but, and the Ramblers are in this tableau too, because they are on stage.
Oh, wow.
And the upstage of the dancers. And the, for Hard Times, which is, as Blaine said, it's right before the celebration. There's quite a celebration after that. But the dancers form on stage, and they go they fill the stage. And there, how many dancers were there? 20 something?
28.
28
yeah.
Dancers. They fill the stage, and they go from fairly closed in, anguished positions, and reform in a much more kind of generous, open position. And her dance language is abstract, but kind of easily recognizable, and helped by the lyrics, I guess. And it goes to a much more generous, kind of open, accepting hope for it's. It becomes hopeful. In this song, I would say it goes from being fairly dark and dire to being hopeful, and then it ends in a celebration at the at the end. So,
well, let's listen to that song. It's called "Hard Times." Jack, who wrote the song?
This Stephen is a Foster. Stephen Foster
song. It's a Stephen Foster song performed by the Red Clay Ramblers, and it is. If you joined us late, it was for and produced in conjunction with the Carolina Jamboree. It's now available on a CD, but you get to hear it right now.
Hard times, hard
Welcome back, Dudes Talking. This is we've just heard a section from the Appalachian Story section of the Carolina Jamboree CD, which is part of the Carolina Ballet, and we got so many ingredients, Jack Harry, going on in here. Can we focus back on that wonderful song that we heard?
It's just all too confusing. Now, that's a Stephen Foster song, Hard Times Come Again, No More. That comes at the end of the Appalachian Stories section, the somewhat depressing first section of the...
All right, well, we'll go, when we come back, we'll talk about the other sections. And I'm looking forward to talking about Nell Cropsey again. Whenever I talk to Bland Simpson, I think of Nell Cropsey, so we'll do that.
Sounds
Bland,
good.
Before we take a break, have you got some other activities of the play, of the Red Clay Ramblers coming up?
Upcoming right this month, right now. Saturday, December 6th at 2 o'clock, we'll be performing and meeting and greeting out at McIntyre's Fine Books in Farington. And at 7 o'clock, also on Saturday the 6th, at Flyleaf Books here in Chapel Hill. And on Sunday, the 14th of December, the annual Red Clay Ramblers Christmas Carol Sing, 4 p.m., Sunday, December 14th, out at Mann's Chapel, just off Mann's Chapel Road.
Jack Herrick, Glenn Simpson, and I will be right back. Welcome back to Who's Talking. If you join us late, I'm visiting with Bland Simpson and Jack Herrick. We're talking, of course, about the Red Clay Ramblers and their current projects. And one of the projects is a brand new CD called Carolina Jamboree, and it's got a very interesting history because it was done in, as a result of a partnership in which the Ramblers and the Carolina Ballet produced this Carolina Jamboree. And we're just kind of taking some of the songs out of the production, and you guys are telling me about it. Nell Cropsey, that's a familiar name when you talk about Bland Simpson. Did you write a book about this?
I certainly did. UNC Press published it in 1993. Jack and I were going over all this material, you know, 25 years of material of the Red Clay Ramblers, 30. And Lynn said, well, we ought to do something original. You know, we're pulling pieces from various parts of your career. Lynn is the choreographer.
Your partner who helped put together this ballet production with...
She masterminded it. She really did. I mean, so she's looking over all of our earlier works and trying to pull pieces that will connect up, and that's really what she did with Appalachian Stories. Then she said, I'd like to do something original and dramatic, and I think Jack said, had a copy of my book, Nell Cropsey, in the studio and said, why don't you take a look at this? This is an old North Carolina story. Bland dramatized it in a book. Maybe we could do something with that on the stage. And she read it, I think,
she
on
said,
the plane.
We can do something like any ballet that has a story to it with tragedy and murder and love.
Yeah,
she good murder mystery.
The
you can't
elements
beat that.
Appeal to her, and the central plot element being, you know, whose story do you believe? That the boyfriend did his girlfriend in, or that somebody else did and he's innocent? And we don't know. I mean, this is a true story. We still don't know what really happened because it remains a mystery forever. Well, she read that book, I think, on the plane back to New York, because she called us immediately and said that, yes, we'll do that. And she kind of called out what she thought the song ideas might be to get us through it, because we knew it was going to be between 15 and 20 minutes of the hour that our ballet took. So she sort of directed us toward the song ideas, she wasn't prescriptive about it.
You mentioned earlier that the music for the ballet was a combination of new, old stuff that you'd done before. And how about this music? Was this all brand new music, or were these things that you all had done?
This was new music, and I know Bland had talked at sometimes in the past about doing something with his book Nell Cropsey musically or dramatically, but we hadn't gotten this kind of push, so we settled in to write five, six pieces, new pieces.
What would be a good one for us to hear that would be typical?
Or
would
my choice would be the Ballad of Nell Cropsey, because it's kind of a short version of the story writ large.
So for those who haven't read Bland's book, those who didn't see the ballet and hear the
they
music,
still need to read Bland's book.
or haven't bought the CD yet.
There you go.
The whole story in it. We're going to tell us a little bit, how did this ballad get constructed? Who worked on this?
Bland and I think Bland probably started this, and he sings it, so the voice of authority is there, and it gives a kind of a townsperson view of the events. In the song, Nell Cropsey is noticed to be missing, and the citizens are wondering what happened to her. The boatmen go out on the water, and they find her body.
Well, let's listen to Bland Simpson singing the Ballad of Beautiful Nell Cropsey.
Oh, me, little Nellie is gone. Oh, my, I don't know if she'd run. Missing at midnight, missing at dawn. Don't know if a murder been done. Every man with a rope or a gun, stay close till the business is done. Search every home, every shanty and shack. Nobody leave town till Nellie get back. How about some justice? How about some mercy for the people of this land? Beautiful Nell, she was happy and gay. Don't know why she'd run away. Won't Jim Wilcox sing with her last? Better start talking, boy, start talking fast. How about some justice? Mercy for the people of this land. Taking his side. How about some justice? How about some mercy for the people of his land? How about some justice? How about some mercy for the people of this land?
Well, I now understand what happened to her, right? Not supposed to. This, if you did join us late, that was the Ballad of Beautiful Nell Cropsey, sung by Bland Simpson, and is a part of a brand new CD, which we're going to learn more about after this short break. Jack Herrick, Bland Simpson, I'll be right back. Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. I'm visiting with Jack Herrick and Bland Simpson about their new CD, Carolina Jamboree. If you joined us late, you just have to listen to this program to find out how it fits in with a wonderful ballet production in partnership with the Carolina Ballet in three segments, as the CD is constructed. We got time to hear maybe a short song from the final segment. What's the final segment, Fiddlesticks, about?
Fiddlesticks. Lynn Taylor Corbett, in designing this hour, said, well, you've got all these novelty songs, fun, zany songs, and the audience has stuck with us through a moody, impressionistic opening and a murder ballad, ghost story, central dramatic piece, and let's just have some fun. So here came the vaudeville section of the piece, and it was a ton of fun. A chicken, the old vaudeville song, and a big finale.
What are the dancers doing all of this? Are they just scrambling around?
Well, in Chicken, these are ballet dancers. These aren't regular people trying to spell YMCA in their basements. The dancers actually could pretzel their bodies and make the letters.
Wow. So they
spelled out Chicken, just as it happens in the song. But I think we're going to listen to, it was a duo, a man and a woman, called Can't Live Without 'Em Blues, and they're having fun and not fun, and they're wrestling around with a sheet, with a bed sheet, twisting each other up in it alternately. So it's a very goofy look at romance.
How'd the song develop? Is this another partnership creation?
A comic love triangle. Actually, no, this one was written many years ago by Tommy Thompson myself for Sam Shepard's A Lie of the Mind. And I can't remember whether it got used or not, but it was created at that time. And it's a comic story of romance gone wrong.
Well, let's listen to the Playmakers now singing Can't Live Without 'Em.
Well, a man loves a woman, but his feet love to run. A woman loves a man like the flower loves the sun. They just can't seem to leave each other alone. They're like two dogs chewing on one bone. Well, you can run from a woman, but you never win. 'Cause a man's got a heart to lose. Is gonna do me in. I got the can't live without 'em blues. I can't live without 'em.
Pretty quick, I can imagine those ballet dancers trying to do ballet to that short song.
But they were pretty insane.
Well, how do you all feel about this whole partnership that resulted in a ballet and a new CD that we can get for Christmas presents?
Just a wonderful experience, and like our forays into the world of symphony and other kind of areas where people like the Red Clear Embers do not rightfully belong. It's a thrill for us to be able to get to do this kind of zany project, and we're very proud of it.
So. Whenever you guys are in, we celebrate. Thanks for being the light in the darkness. Sometimes when we're down in the dumps, turn you guys on. But great CD, and it's available. I noticed looking around, it's available on Amazon. If you just want to buy one song, you can buy a song for 99 cents. And
you can you can do that, or you can come to our website, redclayramblers.com, and all of our shamelessly commercial projects can be found there.
It's a great website. It is. But you all are going to be doing some. Before we close, Bland Simpson, tell us what's on tap for the Playmakers in the next little bit.
Coming right up, DG, on Saturday, December 6th at 2 o'clock, McIntyre's Fine Books in Farrington. At 7 o'clock, Flyleaf Fine Books in Chapel Hill. And on Sunday, December 14th at 4 p.m. at Mann's Chapel, just off Mann's Chapel Road, the annual Red Clay Ramblers Christmas Carol Sing.
Thanks, Jack Herrick. Thanks, Ben Simpson. Thanks to all y'all for listening. This is DG Martin, Who's Talking. I'll be back here before you know it.